your host for Lacrosse Talk PM, Rick Sola.
All right, welcome to a Wednesday, hump day. Should be the mandatory day off in the middle of the week, a week middle. Lacrosse Talk PM. I would probably still have to work because it'd be weird to just not have a show in the middle of the week. But you all should have the day off, right? We should just get into a place in society where the weekend and the week middle are days off. Although if I really had a choice, I'd just take Mondays off. Have a 3-day weekend, right? 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. I'm about to hit publish on this story that I got right before we came on the air. So I've been typing this up from the Badger Project. Peter Cameron has been on this show before. We've talked about a lot of issues that Wisconsin has, and now he's having issues with La Crosse's police department. So here we go. I'm putting it up right now. Paste in plain text. Publish and send. So it's on Wisdom News right now. La Crosse police being sued by a news organization for refusing open records request. Peter just sent that to me. A little while ago, Peter is actually in the lawsuit. He's suing the La Crosse Police Department, apparently, over... So we talked with Peter a couple of weeks ago, and I should just say, it's like my emotions are high-low here right now. Not high-low. I don't know. I want to have some fun today because Charlie Behrens, the comedian, Manitowoc Minute comedian, if y'all know him, kind of a Midwest. He's got the Midwest thing going. And I interviewed him. I'm going to play the interview here right after Brad does the news. This police thing got thrown at me. So I was super excited to have a fun show. I talked with Quick Trip about some of the stuff that Charlie Behrens talked about. You'll get to hear all this stuff. But then this La Crosse police thing, they're being sued, gets thrown at me, and I don't know what to do. But I got to play the interview because I've been... Because it's great. It's a great interview. If I could go back, I would love to explain. So I asked Charlie about the world's largest Quick Trip supposedly coming to La Crosse. We'll get down to the bottom of that by the end of the show. I asked him about some of the stuff going through the city council meeting Thursday, the Fish Labs building. So Charlie Behrens, a big outdoorsman, fisherman. Speaking of that, the Wisconsin Republicans brought Ted Nugent into the assembly today to demand we hunt for cranes. We got to hunt down the sandhill cranes. That's another story on wisdomnews.com. So, like I said, I'm high low right now. But I want to get to this interview with Charlie and have some fun. And then after that, if we have time, we'll have some time at the bottom of the half of the hour to kind of go over some of the things Charlie said. I asked him about the Fish Labs building, him being a fisherman. He had some funny comments there, although I think he misinterpreted. You know, it's hard to explain to him what's going on there. So he hears Fish Labs building and the DNR and automatically, he's not here. He doesn't exactly understand it, but he did have some funny jokes about it. So let's get to that here. I want to get to that as soon as possible. But at first, Brad's going to tell us a couple of things going on. This lacrosse police thing, I don't think he has that yet. I'm going to try to decipher that while I play the interview with Charlie Behren. So stay tuned. Thanks a lot for listening. I don't know why I said that. All right, stay tuned. We'll be back. All right, welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. On the phone with me now is news talk guy, Manitowoc Minute guy, comedian Charlie Behrens. Charlie, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. We talked a little bit earlier in the show about what you're up to. You become kind of a big hit in the Midwest as a comedian now, but you got your start in news, and this is a news talk station. Can you tell us a little bit about how you developed, I guess, Manitowoc Minute, a newscast, into what it's become now, just this huge thing?
Yeah. You know, I think you might have cut out there. I think it... You know, geez Louise, I hope it's not my service. If it is, I apologize. I'll bring you rhubarb pie next time.
Charlie,
what was that question again?
I'm on a landline, so this is probably the first interview you've ever done on a landline. No, I'm just kidding. But, we're on a news talk station. You kind of got your start in news. You made the comedy hit Manitowoc Minute into what you've become now, where you're selling out shows. You sold out a show in Westby, I believe, last weekend or two weekends ago. You're coming up here in Rochester, Minnesota. I think that show is sold out as well. But you did get your start in news, right, as a journalist?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. I was doing news, and, you know, here's the deal about doing news. They want you to talk kind of normal, right? Well, I don't know. Regionally, it's a little different, but when you do it, they want you to talk without an accent. So I had this voice guy who's, you know, pointed out everything I did wrong. And so I changed my voice to do news for a little bit. And that was okay, but I would still screw things up, right? Like, I was doing news in Texas, and I says to him, stay inside and find a bubbler. And the thing is, a bubbler means something different in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, it's a device you use to drink water. In Texas, you know, I don't know if your listeners can handle this or not, but a bubbler in Texas is a device used to smoke the devil's lettuce. So, you know, the things just kept tripping me up. And then eventually I developed a character, a stand-up character, who instead of taking all those things, you know, the voice coach told me to do to change my voice, I just took everything everybody said I was doing wrong and doubled down on them. And that's where the Manduak Minute character came from.
Did the people in Texas get really confused when you kept talking about how kids in the Midwest were using the bubbler?
Yeah, you know, it was a hot day, and I said, everybody stay inside and find yourself a bubbler. And, you know, in Texas, that'll land you in a jail cell right next to Willie Nelson, who forgot to hide his psychedelics. So, you know, you got to be careful.
Now, you're from Wisconsin. I think you're from the outskirts of Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, the suburbs of Milwaukee.
And I believe you covered politics at some point in your career, but what do you think of Governor Tony Evers? He talks a little bit funny. He became governor. There's an avenue for you in politics. I mean, this guy is talking jeepers, creepers, and criminaries. He's saying all the same words you are.
You know, you got to admire that aspect of the situation. I don't care if you're right, left, or center, but if you throw a jeepers, cripes in every now and again, you got people's ear.
Now, do you think Governor Evers, he's a bit older than you, but I feel like maybe he was watching the Manitowoc Minute and getting these from you, or did you take any of this game from Governor Evers?
You know, I got to be honest with you. It'd be great if he was taking stuff from me, but, I fear for any politician who's borrowing anything from me. I should be pretty far from that spectrum, you know, but you never know. You never know. But here's the deal. Everything I say, you know, I'm only saying it because I grew up hearing it. And so I assume pretty much everyone who grew up hearing it at some point is saying it, especially if you're trying not to, you know, curse on a public format. You know, that's when you're trying to avoid the cuss, the public cuss. So you're going with a Jiminy Cricket, a Jeepers Cripes. The only time it's appropriate to cuss is if you drop the F-bomb before saying the Bears, okay? If you do that, it don't count. Father Tom told me you don't even have to confess it.
Okay. We're talking with Charlie Behrens. He's got a book coming out called The Midwest Survival Guide. We'll get into that in a minute. Charlie, I want to give you some lacrosse, just a little bit of what's going on in lacrosse, and you just tell me how what you feel about this. Being, you know, you're a news guy. Yeah. You could tell me how we should cover this. In lacrosse, the city is trying to convert what used to be a fish hatchery that the DNR used to use right off the Mississippi River here in Riverside Park. They're trying to change this into a wedding venue, and they're trying to slip this by the city here by adding a beer garden because, you know, you can't get rid of the fish hatchery. It's a fish hatchery, but if we add a beer garden, then we can have weddings there. What do you think of just converting a fish hatchery into a wedding venue?
One of my number one things is always the environment, you know, first kind of. If we screw the pooch on that, we're all in trouble. So I would look at that first and foremost. But I don't see why you can't have both. You know, I don't see why you can't have a healthy fish hatchery. Again, if that's the best thing, you know, for the environment, and a wedding venue. And if you don't want to get married with the smell of some fish, I mean, honestly, what an appropriate place to get married. You know, you've got fish and, you know, and also, biblically speaking, right? A lot of people incorporate that in their ways. Jesus multiplied the fish. And what's a fish hatchery doing but multiplying the fish? So, you know, just that's where I'm going with that. And honestly, you know, if I'm being, you know, if I'm being a little naughty, I might think about bringing my fishing pole to the fish hatchery, but I know that that's probably inappropriate. I know that's probably going to get me into trouble.
Well,
but you know, it's tempting. It's like walking by those pheasant pens. You know, I like to hunt the side of the pheasant fence just for any who escaped, you know?
Yeah, what's...
That's not really sportsmanly of me, so I shouldn't be saying this on the radio either.
You could bring your fishbowl down to Riverside Park. We've built a dock there, but there's a no fishing sign on the dock in Riverside Park on the Mississippi River. They don't even let you fish off the dock here.
So you... Well, again, I don't know what the nuances are of the environmental reasons they do or don't, but generally speaking... If there's a dock, you know, I'm going to be fishing off it. You know, that's going to be my temptation. And I'd really need someone to explain to me, you know, why they don't want you fishing. Because all I care about are healthy fish populations. If there are no healthy fish populations, I'm losing out on walleyes. We're all losing out on walleyes. My number one objective as a guy in Wisconsin is to keep walleye populations healthy. Keep muskie populations healthy, trout populations healthy, because if we can't fish, I tell you what, there's going to be a lot more upset people out there. You know, there's a reason that in New York City, you hear all those car horns going off. In L.A., you hear all those car horns. In the Midwest, someone could stop at a four-way stop and not go for 10 minutes, no car horn. Why? Because we got walleyes. We tell our problems to the walleyes, and then we let them go. Sometimes we eat them, but that's a different story.
Yeah, it's harder.
You got to have fish or all these problems come out.
It's harder to go fishing in the middle of New York. Now, on your bio, there's a talk of you winning a regional Emmy for a piece called Life of Water. Was that a comedy Emmy, or were you doing some environmental work there?
There was some comedy involved there. Really what it was is looking at the cost of water in Texas. At the time I was there, they were in a big drought. A lot of the country is currently in a big drought, and yet you see everyone saying conserve water, take shorter showers, but then you go past some of the richer neighborhoods and they got these fountains out, all the lawns are green, and you're saying how do these two things equate? And one of the things is, and this goes with a lot of environmental things, what price tag do we put on the environment? And if we put an accurate price tag on our most valuable resource, people would use it in more appropriate ways. But since it's largely free or inexpensive for the rich, often it gets wasted. So, you know, it's like that with a lot of different environmental issues. If there were an accurate price on what the environment does for us, then it may not be something people, you know, spill oil in a lot, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And it's great that you're kind of, I feel like you should, I don't know, maybe you do incorporate just that environmental aspect, save the fishing, right? Save the water. We should start thinking about that more and more. In relation to water and the river, Giannis Antetokounmpo won an NBA championship with the Milwaukee Bucks just recently. We do this a lot, especially in Green Bay. We name roads after coaches and players that have won championships, you know, Lombardi and Holmgren. What if we, in Milwaukee, instead of naming a road after Giannis Antetokounmpo, we just rename the Milwaukee River Antetokounmpo River?
Yeah, who's going to, you know, dump stuff into that, you know? That's not a bad way to go. Now, I think you're going to, you may run into some, I forget all the names of the rivers, but, you find it a nice stream. But I like the mentality of what you're saying here, you know? I like the idea behind it is that, you know, you like basketball. Imagine basketball is a river. Now we're getting real philosophical here. And you wouldn't pollute your MVP, you know? So, but your MVP's drinking that water in some way, shape, or form, so... Something to think about.
Yeah, I don't know if he's drinking out of the Milwaukee River. Maybe. That's why he's so tall, perhaps. Maybe we all should be doing that. One more thing. One more thing, lacrosse-based for you, Charlie. Lacrosse is about to build the world's biggest Quick Trip. Quick Trip was invented in lacrosse. I don't know if you know that. So our home base here for Quick Trip is lacrosse. They're about to build the world's biggest Quick Trip.
And honest, I've heard about this, the Taj Mahal of Quick Trips. And it's going to be incredible. When are they breaking ground on that sucker? Do you know?
I think COVID put it off for a little bit, but well, you know, we can get word to you when they're going to break ground. I'm not exactly sure, but you know, I think you're selling out shows in Westby, in Rochester. Man, I think Quick Trip would pay a lot of money to have you sell out a show in the parking lot.
I do it for free. I'm going to be there anyway, you know? So we do these, me and Adam Gruhl from Horseshoes and Hand Grenades, we did a concert in the beer cooler at Quick Trip. we just played a song. We didn't really ask. Certainly nobody asked us to do it. But, you know, and we helped people get beer as they were coming in. So, you know, we were part helper, quick trip helpers who happened to be playing music in the beer cooler. I also did crack a tall boy, but I did end up paying for that. I just want everyone to know.
Okay, well, I feel like they could have just, well, yeah, you better pay for it. It's fine. All right, Charlie, do you have any, you did say you're going to come out with this book, The Midwest Survival Guide. Is there a Quick Trip mentioned in there, or what is this book going to be about?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Quick Trip's mentioned in it, definitely. Really, it's about everything you need to know to live in the Midwest, or, like, let's say you're moving to the Midwest. That it's perfect for that, but it's also because it gives you, you know, things to do, how to tie a fishing knot, you know, what to wear, you know, different. It's just everything you need to know about living in the Midwest and more. And then tied into it, our story is part of the book, but a bunch of stories about growing up in the Midwest and just kind of anecdotes and all that sort of stuff. It's a comedic book. It's good for the potty. You know, you have it sit down there and you read it a little at a time. You don't have to read it cover to cover. You can just pop it open and read some. They call it a coffee table book, but I know where all coffee table books end up, and that's by the potty. So I'm realistic about it.
Yeah, it should be a toilet basket book.
Exactly. A fantastic one at that.
Now, when you're selling out shows here in the Midwest, do you travel to places like, let's just go like Miami, Florida, or Los Angeles, California, or even Texas? You said you're in Texas. Does your bits in, you know, Midwest humor, you've got a video about bar dice. Are they playing bar dice at the club in Miami?
No, but in the Midwest Survival Guide, you learn how to play bar dice, so I'm hoping that it eventually gets down there. No, they don't. But here's the thing about people in Wisconsin. They travel all over, and they're very proud, too. You know, a lot of people leave their home state, and they may not necessarily be proud about where they came from. That's just not the case in Wisconsin. That's not the case in a lot of places in the Midwest. And so they come out, and when you say you're coming to town, they come out and support. And there's also a bunch of, you know, non-Midwest stuff, just normal stuff in the stand-up. And, you know, you test it out. If Miami's not feeling, you know, my bid on Screwed the Pooch, well, then I change it up to Ass Over Tea Kettle. There's something for everyone to relate to.
Yeah, I would say there's Packer bars all over the world. You just end up you finding where the Packer bar is, and you just go do your stand-up at those bars.
Yeah, I just go find my home away from home.
Yeah, I get a little worried because Mike McCarthy doesn't seem to work in Texas, and he's, you know, he was the coach here for the Packers. So I get a little worried when you're doing shows, you know, in the bigger cities out of the Midwest, because they might not understand, A, they might not understand you, and B, they might not go fishing.
Well, you'd be surprised. A lot of people who go to the shows are from the Midwest, but then they bring their spouses or partners or whatever, or friends who are not from the Midwest. And I don't want to brag here, but I think I've converted some of them. I think I've made them Midwesterners at heart, at least.
You've got them booking fishing trips for walleyes on the Mississippi.
Yeah, they're definitely Googling walleye. Whether they're fishing for it or not, they're definitely more interested in walleye than they ever have been.
All right, when's your book coming out, Charlie?
Book's coming out November, I think, 14th, and if I were a better promoter of myself, I would know the exact date, but mid-November, let's call it.
Yeah, I mean, you know where people are going to find this is when they're at a friend's house, and they're just hanging out, and they end up going to the bathroom, and then they look down and like, oh, what's this? Midwest Survival Guide.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I want it discovered, potty to potty. They say word of mouth, it's word of potty communication. That's what really gets things going.
All right, Charlie Behrens, hey, I really appreciate you coming on with me. Thanks a lot, man.
Hey, it was great talking to you. Watch out for deer now, okay?
All right, thanks. We're going to take a quick break. All right, welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. Kind of a whirlwind of a day, and you throw an interview with a comedian in the middle of it, and my emotions are kind of all over the place. So one of the funny things Charlie said there when we were starting to get into it, because he started as a journalist and he essentially had to move out of that because you hear how he talks. He's very Midwestern accent, right? And the, you know what I'm saying? So it sounds like it wasn't going to work out because he had too much of a Midwestern accent. I think he was down in Texas doing that. Although he did win an Emmy for that water story, but
an Emmy or a Grammy, one of those awards. I don't pay attention to the awards. But he just talked, and I was just, I kind of want to be like, yeah, we don't, you know, they put me on the air. I don't, just let me say whatever I want here. So I should have offered him a job right there and then, right? Like, hey, you can come be a journalist. I think he's doing all right for himself though. So a couple other things, we made some jokes about Quick Trip. I'll put this story in this interview up in a little while here on the wisdomnews.com. And he referred to him and another comedian going into a beer cooler at Quick Trip, and they sing a song and they start handing out beers and giving autographs in this beer cooler. It sounded like he didn't, I don't know. So I asked Quick Trip's public relations, and I have the interview right here. It's just a couple of minutes long. But I just wanted to get to the bottom of a couple of things. And then the Taj Mahal, what Charlie Barron's called the Taj Mahal of Quick Trips. We've heard rumors about this, right? The world's largest biggest Quick Trip. How about that? They should call it that. The world's largest biggest Quick Trip, eh? But I asked John about that too, just to get to the bottom of where we're at with the Taj Mahal of Quick Trip. So here's that interview. It's real quick, pretty funny. Almost as funny as Charlie. No, it's not funny. It's good though. It's good. All right, here it is. And there at Quick Trip.
Sure, my name is John McEwen. I'm the director of public relations at Quick Trip.
All right, how much do you know about Charlie Barron's? He seems to have a lot of Quick Trip jokes.
Yeah, Charlie does have a lot of Quick Trip jokes. He's a big fan of ours, and we're a big fan of his.
What did you think of him saying? You know, he called it the Taj Mahal of Quick Trips. Can you just clarify for us what Quick Trip is planning to do? Is it going to be the world's largest Quick Trip?
That's actually a bit of a misnomer. The new store is what we're calling our Generation 3 store, and all of those stores are 9,200 square feet. That's larger than most Quick Trip stores that you see today, but it's consistent with all the new stores we've been building this last year. So the new store in La Crosse will be just as large as all the other new stores. It won't be the Taj Mahal of Quick Trip.
And where exactly will that be?
It'll be on the south side of La Crosse.
Okay, and are there other Generation 3 stores in La Crosse?
And this will be the first Generation 3 store in La Crosse. We have them in other parts of our markets in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa, but this will be the first one in La Crosse.
Okay, and I think like 2022 sometime? Do we have a month?
We don't have an exact month yet, but it should be 2022.
All right, what's Quick Trip doing here? La Crosse is the home base of Quick Trip. We don't have the biggest Quick Trip in La Crosse. What's going on?
Well, you know, we have so many what we call legacy stores that have been here forever, and obviously they do quite well as they are. We have a loyal fan base here in La Crosse. So we thought it was fine that we finally treat them, our La Crosse residents, to one of the new stores. It's about time.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose it takes, if you have all these Quick Trips from the start of Quick Trip, you would have to tear those down and build new ones on top of them, I suppose.
And the honesty piece is that if we have to do that, that's expensive. It costs us well over $8 million to build a new store. And ultimately, that comes from our coworkers, because our coworkers share in the profits. So it's their money that we're spending when we build the Taj Mahal.
Yeah. Is there any talk? What if we just made it like 9,001 square feet so we can say La Crosse has the biggest Quick Trip? Just work it into the blueprints, John.
We'll try to do that. That's a good idea. Charlie would love it.
Yeah, definitely. They must have did. I don't know if they planned this. It looks like they didn't plan it, but it is probably planned. But they went into a beer cooler and started singing and then handing out beers to people in the cooler while drinking beer. I don't know if you guys condone that behavior.
Yeah, that's a little bit of breaking the rules, but I suppose Charlie can get away with it.
Yeah, definitely. And what else did he say? He said something. Oh, when you do break ground on this Quick Trip, you're going to have maybe a ribbon cutting ceremony or something, I would guess. Charlie said he'll play for free. Are you guys going to hold him to his word there?
Well, usually we do the ribbon cutting ceremony when the store's finished, and Don Zietlow, the owner, comes out for that. And if Charlie wants to come, we'll certainly have him.
Sure. All right. Hey, John, thanks a lot for taking a couple of minutes for me.
You bet. Anytime. Take care.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was the interview with John McHugh, public relations there at Quick Trip. We got to the bottom of some of that there. Hey, I can't get that out of my head now. You talk to him for a couple minutes, Charlie Barron's, and then you get this twang. It's not a Southern twang. It's like a Midwestern twang, right? And it's contagious a little bit. It's kind of funny. Eric from Sparta is calling. Eric, go ahead. You're on.
Yeah. Hey, Rick. Do you feel your liberalism is fading away now? Thank you.
Like, what world is he in? What world is Eric living in? Do you think he lives Do you think he listens to the show? What is going on? It's sad. It's just to be, I don't know, just to have, that's your thought process during the day. Anyway, I'm talking with Rug from Trempolo on the text line because I brought up earlier, so there's two stories kind of going on in my head as I try to have some fun with this conversation with Charlie Behrens. And another person declared to run for Ronkind's seat in the 3rd District. But the La Crosse police being sued by a news organization for refusing an open records request. And then the Wisconsin Republicans bringing Ted Nugent into the assembly today to push for sandhill crane hunting. I honestly don't know where the state is at with sandhill crane population. Rug from Trempolo says he got a tag to hunt one in North Dakota a decade ago. And he said it was pretty tasty. He says on the text line here that the crane breast tastes like a ribeye steak, which I would go with chicken there, or turkey, right? Like a bird. You just go with another bird. But he says ribeye steak, actually. You sure you killed a crane, Ruck? You sure? Yeah, and he texts in, he sees more and more every year, and I've been hunting ducks for 30 years. So part of me, right away, I'm just like, do we really need to kill sandhill cranes, right? Do we need to push? This is a thing we're pushing for in legislation. In the midst of everything that's going on with the world, with our state, everything that's happening, Republicans are pushing for a sandhill crane hunting. That's what we had 20 Republicans in the assembly today, the Senate Majority Leader, and Ted Nugent. We brought Ted Nugent in. We got to get Ted Nugent. He's going to be, you know, the face of this battle. I feel like we don't need, at this point, do we need to hunt sandhill crane? Are we good? Right away, thinking about, like, for one, my dog, when she was probably like 7 or 8 years old, almost ran down a sandhill crane in a creek. So there was, the sandhill crane easily got away, but she was, you know, she's kind of splashing around in this creek, and all of a sudden, oh, there's a huge sandhill crane, and she takes off, and I'm like, oh, good, this will be interesting. And once it got up in the air, it was good to go, but it was kind of landlocked a little bit inside this creek that's kind of in a gully. So I was thinking, like, how hard would it be to hunt sandhill crane? It wouldn't be fair. I think if you designed the hunt, you had to use a handgun or a frisbee. You had to hit the sandhill crane with a frisbee and then go and tackle it in hand to wing combat. That's maybe that you have to make it a little bit more fair. I think duck hunting, I feel like once the ducks are up in the air, it's harder to shoot ducks in the air. They're smaller. They're a little faster. I think they're quicker. I've gone clay pigeon shooting, which I would assume is sort of like duck hunting. I've done that when I was with Ducks Unlimited at some point in my childhood. I just remember doing that. So, but sandhill, I mean, clay pigeon is shooting to simulate sandhill crane hunting. So the clay pigeons are, you know, like 5 feet wide, and they shoot, the discs shoot out, and you have to hit them with your gun. It just doesn't seem fair. I don't think we need to hunt sandhill cranes. We definitely don't need to spend a day in the state legislature in session debating it. We need to like talk about this. And there was 13 bills that went through the legislature today. So again, like we're throwing 13 bills at the public all at once. Another one is just, you know, essentially deregulating guns. Allowing anyone age 18 or older to carry concealed firearms without a permit. So just give anyone a gun 18 or older without a permit to conceal and carry. I don't know what it takes to get, so you wouldn't need a permit. So anyone could just buy a gun. I mean, I have to take a driver's license test to get a car. Do I have to do anything to get a gun now if that law would pass? I don't know. But we threw 13 again. In the midst of the worst of the pandemic, what I think is the worst of the pandemic, though, right now we have just as many cases as we did before. Our state legislature literally didn't meet in session for 8 months. They didn't pass any legislation. They didn't propose any legislation. They didn't talk about any legislation in session for 8 months. And now, as we come out of a pandemic, slowly, we're going to talk about hunting sandhill cranes. Good. Very productive Republicans. It's baffling. All right. Let's reset. Try to decipher some more of the stuff going down. And yeah, let's bring up who's running for Congress in Ron Kind's seat. Another Democrat running. All right, welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. Greg's calling me. We're talking about sandhill crane hunting. Greg, you have a little experience here?
Well, I follow conservation, and around the state of Wisconsin, there's farmers killing lots of them on crop damage permits. And when they kill one on a crop damage permit, it's left to rot in the field. So
fertilizer.
The numbers have to be controlled, and the best way to do that is by permit hunting, just like we have turkeys and hunting, do it by permit, and then not only are the numbers controlled, but the meat is utilized. And they're not an endangered species anymore. There's a refuge similar to Horicon down in Colorado, and there's hundreds of thousands of sandhill cranes down there. Where they migrate in the winter.
If I got a permit to hunt a crane, you say the meat would be utilized or the bird would be utilized. Why do you say that?
Well, because when hunters kill an animal, they utilize it. In the state of Wisconsin, there's a law against what's called wanton waste, where somebody shoots something and then leaves it lie. But under the permit system for that, that's what they have to do.
Oh, so they have to show the bird to the DNR somehow or something?
Well, you tag it and register it.
Okay. I don't hunt, so my girlfriend hunts. I don't hunt. We have reverse roles. But, okay. Well, that's cool. Thanks. All right, he's gone. He said his phone was going to cut out. I think there's probably an avenue here where you could control a hunt. I think that's what we do for everything, right? With deer hunting. I think that's one of the bills, I believe, there's a whole bunch of these bills. So I tried to simplify them a little bit. Other measures include proposed to increase the number of pheasants the DNR stocks to 200,000, simplify the turkey hunting structure from 7 to 2, and the number of spring seasons from 6 to 2, allow young hunters to satisfy the hunter safety program in-person field testing requirements by participating in a mentored hunt, and require the DNR to raise at least 100,000 brook trout. I mean, those aren't the worst. Just the ones that are the confusing, though. And then you bring Ted Nugent in, which doesn't seem all that productive. I mean, why would you do that? Let's go as far to the crazy as we can by bringing Ted Nugent in. I just don't understand. Be baffled. I'm just going to be baffled the whole show. Let's see. There's a whole bunch of these, you know. So there's... You got to take them one at a time to kind of go over them, but we're going to throw them all at you at once. Another bill would allow hunters to go after non-native bovines, such as buffalo, antelope, and wild beasts. Beasts? Okay. Spelled weird. Not a hunter here. The Republicans say many such animals are already being raised on Wisconsin game farms. Another piece of the package would require the DNR to eliminate 3 administrative rules for every one it proposes. Oh, good. And yet another proposal would allow residents of the state to carry concealed weapons without a permit, whether they're hunting or not. Republicans have been pushing to do away with concealed carrying permits for years. It was last proposed in 2017, but died before getting a hearing. We know it didn't get a hearing in 2020 because Republicans didn't hold any hearings. Gaveled in and out of multiple hearings in 10 seconds while the state was dealing with a whole bunch of things. From police reform and guns. I think guns was on the table at one point. All right. Oh, yeah. There's another story here. We've got another candidate. Oh, yeah. That's why the picture is really small. Another candidate looking to replace Ron Kind, who's been at it for like 26 years right here in the 3rd District. She's an Eau Claire businesswoman, Rebecca Cook. Try to have her on get to know her a little bit here, maybe sometime down the road. We've got a while before this vote comes up, but there'll be a primary in August. So we have until August, at least. If elected, Cook would be the first woman to represent Wisconsin's 3rd congressional district in the U.S. House of Representatives. It's kind of sad, really. So far, Gwen Moore and Tammy Baldwin are the only two women ever elected to Congress from Wisconsin. So we're a little behind. I don't know if we're behind other states, but we're just behind in general, I think. So, Cook started a retail store called Red's Mercantile, and she was appointed by Governor Tony Evers to board the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. She owned a dairy farm in Eau Claire, in the Eau Claire area, and she also owns and operates, here we go, Red's Mercantile, and she also founded the Red Letter Grant in 2016. It's a nonprofit that supports female entrepreneurs. So on paper, sounds pretty good. See what kind of thing she has to say, but you know, that's all that stuff. I think we can all relate to that being pretty good. I don't know what Red's Mercantile is exactly. Haven't looked that up, but creating a nonprofit to help women start businesses, that sounds awesome. Not for me in general, not for me personally, but for women. But that would help everybody. All right, so that's on wisdomnews.com. The story about the La Crosse police being sued for open records requests, that's up on wisdomnews.com as well. This kind of stems, this open records request story, and just real quick, it stems from, I believe, I'm not sure, I didn't talk to Peter about this yet. I think he's getting bombarded with texts right now. But the story may stem from another story that Peter Cameron and the Badger Project wrote about how 200 officers or deputies in Wisconsin who are currently employed, they were at one time fired or forced out of their previous jobs in law enforcement, either or resigned before they were fired or quit before a completion of an internal investigation. So 200 officers in Wisconsin hey, you're fired. You can't fire me. I quit before I signed the paperwork for you to fire me. I'm out of here. And then they go and get another job somewhere else. And there's this, you know, some of these officers or deputies, you know, if they're with the sheriff's office, you know, their backgrounds might not be the greatest, yet they're getting hired because police, they're in this conundrum where some police aren't, you know, they don't have enough officers applying for jobs or deputies, and therefore they'll take anyone that's got the training, right? They'll try to reform them, try to get them, you know, and that's fine if you can get that person back on the right track. But also, you know, if that person screwed up as a law enforcement officer or deputy, at that point, should we hold them in a higher standard and therefore maybe they shouldn't get their job back? All right, that's all the time I got. And we're going to talk with the County Health Department tomorrow.